Tuesday, the 18th of September, Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Lieberman, The Science of Teshuva.
Let's begin with an observation of Rabbeinu Yehuda and Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yehuda, right at the beginning, talks about the basic elements of Tshuva. Tshuva has two main parts, besides the vidui, which comes as the expression of Tshuva. The Tshuva itself is made up of charotah primarily. A person looks back at the averus he's done in the past, and he says, realizes it was wrong, how can I do an avera? There's Ribbono Shloim, Lecharetz Kavodai, what was I thinking? He realizes the devastating effects of a avera on his neshama, on the world, and he has karoti, a sincere regret, remorse for his avera. Then, after that, says Rabbeinu Yehuda, it's not enough just to be sorry about what you did. There also has to come with it a kabbalah ala haba, a genuine commitment not to do it again. That's a derech hatshuva. That's what we used to have charota, and added to that charota, you back it up with a kabbalah ala haba. Correct Rabbeinu Yehuda, that if you look in the psukim, sometimes there's a mashmos in the psukim that's not the way tshuva goes. One classic pasuk he brings is Yaziv Rosha Darkoi Vishovem Machshavoisov VYoshev El Hashem. First Yaziv, then Yoshev. First Aziv Sachet, and only then Yoshev El Hashem. Only then comes the Charata. We're used to first starting with Charata and then coming to Aziv Sachet. So why is it the pasuk puts Aziv Sachet before Charata? Rabbeinu Yehuda. You know what he says? He says there are different types of people. And different people have different tshuva. It depends who you are. And in his words, there's a chayte b'mikre, there's a person who does a chet on occasion. He's a good yid. He lives al pi shulchan aruch. To live al pi shulchan aruch, you have to know shulchan aruch. So he knows all the halachas. He knows the rechaim. He knows yeridea. He knows chishum mishpat. And his life is a reflection of that life. He's a life of Torah. He lives al pi shulchan aruch. A wonderful yid. But you know, everyone has a yitzhara. Even a tzaddik has a yitzhara. And this yid sometimes slips up as a yitzhara, and he falls in, and it's a loss of money, or some other type of nisayon, or he's very angry, and he does something that is out of character, and he slips up. So Rabbeinu Yehuda, with such a person, what's his tshuva? His tshuva is, how could that have happened? Here you are on the straight and narrow, look at that black mark, look what you did. You have to go back to that avera and regret having done the avera. How could I have said that? How could I have done that? That's a person who's chayte b'mikra. Sometimes, on rare occasions, he doesn't have avera. He lives Hilchot Shabbos, but once he wasn't thinking and he moved muktzah, a shrek, a pachad, a boyin taleitim, he lives now when he comes to Yom Kippur, he's like, what about that time I moved muktzah? But, says Rabbeinu Yehuda, Ish hamisyatei val derech leitoiva. If you have another type of person who's set on the wrong way, his whole behavior is all wrong. It's an odd avera. He's messed up. Shabbos, he's not makbedon on Shabbos. Benazim lachavera, he's not careful about what he says to people. Imamunus, he's megalon gezel. Stocket, doesn't give you enough. Talmud Torah, he's not kevei ha'itim. Davening, he's hardly there. Oh, that's such a yid. So what's the problem? He's going to start with his charota. Oi, yesterday I didn't daven properly. That's a problem. But what about today? Next Sunday you're also not going to daven properly. Why are you looking at the past when you've still got a problem with the future? You start thinking about, oi, last Shabbos that was Mechalel Shabbos. That's the issue. We'll get to that when you start being a Shomer Shabbos. When you learn Hilchos Shabbos and you're keeping Hilchos Shabbos, then we'll see, well, what about those Shabboses when I didn't keep Shabbos properly? You can't talk about the past when you still have a problem in the future. Somebody walks into a freshly polished kitchen floor and he's got mud on his shoes and he's clumping around and his wife says, me, look what you're doing, look at the mess. He says, oh, you, and he goes and gets a mop. So he's mopping, and while he's mopping, he's tramping more dirt around. Does the table of the sheriff be others at Rabbeinu Yehuda? If you still have a problem because he's misyatzav al derech leitoivah, a person like that, by him the tshuva is completely different. First, get that mud off your boots. First, take those shoes off. First, distance yourself from doing averus in the future. When you're confident, he says to Rabbeinu Yehuda to that person, when you're confident that you're on the right path, you're now keeping Torah, you're living a life of Torah, then you can start saying, well, okay, now we're on the Derech Teva, But what about all those averus in the past? Now you can add charota to your aziva zachis. Remember, the Rabbeinu Yehuda, you'll find series of sukkim. For some people, tshuva start looking back at the tshuva we used to start with charota, and then you add aziva zachis. But for some people, you start with aziva zachis, first look at the future, then we'll go to the past. It's actually two very different approaches to tshuva. Psychologically, it's a completely different mindset. Are you looking forward? Are you looking backwards? Looking back and regretting, or looking forward and planning? It's very different. And the shaila is, which one of those two people do we, which category do we fit into? Who are we? And I think if you ask most people, the answer would be a bit of each. We all have averus that we did as a one-off. There was a one time that we did it. We don't normally do such things. We had regret the moment after. We lived with guilt for having done it. It was a one-off. Either it was a tremendous nisayon at the time, or there were particular circumstances that led us to do that avera. But today, we're far removed from that, and we're not frightened that we're going to do it again. It's a one-off. And those averas, avada, the vault is charata, and then as it was a chet, we can look back and have regret. Our ik is charata. Whereas averus that we're rogil to do, and most people have averus that they're rogil in, that they're not careful about, issues and areas that they know require immediate attention and serious improvement. By some people it's davening, by some people it's learning, by some people it's stuck, by some people it's averus, diktuk hamitzvos. We all have areas that we're just not happy with ourselves. And we weren't happy with ourselves last year or the year before. These are real problems. These are general issues we have in Avodas Hashem, where we don't feel that we're on a derech tova with the odd problem. With these averus, we feel we just don't have it right. And that type of avera, you can't start with charata, we're going to start with Avodas Hashem. So it would make sense for you to take out a sheet of paper before Yom Kippur. Can't do this on Yom Kippur. Can't take out a sheet of paper for starters. Take out a sheet of paper and make two columns. In one column, he's going to put the charata type of averus, the one-off. In the other column, he'll have to put the serious day-to-day averus, the ones that he's misyatsev al derech lo teva. Because if he doesn't, he's going to come to Yom Kippur and he's going to have a headache. He's going to be dizzy. He'll be turning backwards, forwards, backwards. Which averus is this? Am I looking at the past? Am I looking in the future? Two different averus. One column is the charata averus, the ones that were one-off, and the other column is the averus that we have to deal with and set up a mahalach to make sure we get it right. And if you ever do make these two columns, you'll find that you start worrying about the second column, about the aziv sachet column. You know, Yom Kippur is a wonderful day for dealing with the first column, with the charata ones. So you're holding a day for charata. No day in the year where a yid is more in tune with his neshama, with Kirvas Elokim, with Kedusha, and on days like that, of course we regret having done averus. How could I have done something that is metamtam, it's anetosh, that is metamtam, it's anashama, that's malchik a person from the Ribono Shel Olam? We can't understand how we did it. It doesn't make sense. Of course we have charata in Yom Kippur. And there's no shaila. There's a tremendous value to every feeling of charata that yid has any time during the year, kol shkin Yom Kippur. When it comes to Aviv Sachet, when it comes to thinking about how am I going to stop myself doing this in the future, you know, Yom Kippur is just about the worst day in the year. Of course I'm not going to do it again. If you bring me these averus now, is there any havam and I would fall for it? Yom Kippur, I'm fine. So I start thinking, what happens if the Eitzara, if the Eitzara comes to me now, I'll punch him in the nose. I'm scared of the Eitzara and Yom Kippur. It's only a week after Yom Kippur, a month after Yom Kippur, 6 months after Yom Kippur, and I start realizing, ooh, I've got a problem. So if a person wants to come into Yom Kippur and feel confident that he can do a real tshuva, he can do Aziz Sachet, he has to start planning beforehand. And that's what the Balei Musa was so busy with. They were telling us that overall, it's very nice to have a general tshuva on 130 mitzvahs, everything we've done wrong about it. You go through the Al-Chet and the Al-Shamruz and the list of the Chayodom and all the other Vidush Svarim that there are. Givaldi, do a general tshuva. But they said you need one issue, one area, two areas, three areas, important nekudas in life, where one has a ziva sachet, where we're sure that we won't do it again. Where we have a Kabbalah that will take us through to next Yom Kippur, a change that we know will really happen. And this, Rabbi says, where we enter the sugya of the science of tshuva. Very basic science, very simple science. What is the premise of all science? What is it built on? What's the yesod that science starts with? What do they believe in, though? They believe in sibba and mesaved, cause and effect. That's the basis of all scientific reasoning. It assumes that if there's a cause, there will be an effect. If there's no cause, there won't be an effect. That's the way the world works. And it's said with an absolute confidence. If you have the cause, there will be an effect. If you switch the light switch and there's a circuit there, there will be light. Guaranteed, right? No questions about that. If you switch on the light, there'll be a light. And if you break the circuit or you take out the light bulb, no hoping, no wishing will change that. If there's no cause, there's no effect. We're so sure about it that when we see the effect, we assume the cause. Right? You're down in the basement and you're changing a light bulb and you've switched off the fuse, right? And there's a loose wire and you're just collecting the wire and you get that tremendous electric shock. And you scream, "Idiot! You switched on the fuse!" How'd you know? Maybe some electricity came to the wire. No, there's no cause. There's no effect. You're sure that that current is only surging through because somebody switched the switch. And if you go down to the cellar and the lights are off and you say, "Please, hello, switch on the lights," and the lights don't go on, you say, "Come on, Yanko, I said switch on the lights." Maybe he did and it didn't work this time. No. If there's a cause, there'll be an effect. Science, it's facts of life, right? Do you believe in science? Do Jews believe in science? Does Torah believe in science? Some would say not. I once read a book based on this concept of science, and it spoke about circuits, a very simple circuit, a battery, a bulb, a wire, a switch, and the assumption in that book was that if you have a circuit, it will work. And if you ever find, this is the error of philosophy, if you ever find that your light's not working, there must be a problem, because you cannot have a circuit and not have light. Somebody was Magia on the side. One word. Kfira. Is that Kfira?
No.
So, well, I think it depends what exactly the Lashon was. You have to look at the Lashon. If the Lashon is that there cannot be light without a circuit, well, it might be Kfira. Because we believe there's a Rabbeinu Shlomo. And there's Ness. There can be light without a circuit. If, though, the book says there won't be light without a circuit, then I think the book is right. Well, not always, depends where you live. If you're in Rav Chanina ben Dosa's house, then maybe you can have, maybe there will be light without a circuit. In Rav Chanina ben Dosa's house, there's sort of different clothing. Misha Omal Hashem and Shiyadlik, Yom Alachem and Shiyadlik. You can have an effect without a natural cause. But if you don't live in Rav Chanina ben Dosa's house, chances are there will be no effect without the cause. We have a perik in Shas called Dama Madlikin, which tells us which oil you can use for lighting Shabbos candles. Because if you use the wrong oil, then the flame just won't burn properly. No, it doesn't work. If we don't provide a cause, there will not be an effect. We can't sort of hope that this time maybe science will change its laws. I push a boulder down the hill and I hope that it won't crush the guy at the bottom. There's a definite reality in cause and effect. And if we were expected to make something happen and we say, "I tried," what do they say? "You didn't try hard enough." Because if there was a cause, there would be an effect. Okay, you'll forgive me for labouring this point, but I think it's something I'd like to hazard over again, just to make sure we're clear before we move on. Very passionate. To your service. A. If there's a cause, there will be an effect, but if there's no cause, there will not. Right? The marshal. Let me give you the marshal. I know I'm going too far, but let's hear it nachamot. If I've got three wagons, and each wagon weighs a ton, and I want to move this train, and I bring it an engine, will the engine move the train, yes or no? Depends how strong the engine is. A 3-ton engine will move the train. It will move. If I add 4 carriages and now I have 7 carriages, and I bring the same engine and I connect it, what will happen? Nothing. Why not? Because if there's no cause, there will be no effect. Maybe this time, I hope, I wish. That's wishful thinking. It won't get you nowhere. there's lots of people out there who are setting up businesses based on wishful thinking, and they're failing. Year in, year out, thousands of stores are opened, thousands of businesses are started that are doomed to failure right from the beginning because they haven't done their science, they haven't done their maths. Is there a cause? If there isn't a cause for customers to come, then you know what's going to happen? They won't come. No cause, there's no effect. Fact of life. If you have a 7-ton engine, then that engine will move. If you have a 6.98-ton engine, what will happen? Nothing. If there's no cause, there's no effect. Furthermore, if I have a 7-ton train, and I have a 7-ton engine, it can move it. But you know that a train track sometimes goes up an incline. This country, not as much as in Switzerland, but it can happen. And you have a little hill in the way. What will happen when that train engine gets to the hill? Nothing. It'll stop. It won't go up that hill. Really? Really. 100% guaranteed. That was a force. It was a sibber. It was a cause on a straight piece of rail. It's not a cause when you get to the hill. Cause and effect. If I want to be sure something's going to happen, if I want to know it's going to happen at all, I have to make sure that my cause is strong enough to create the effect despite the problems, despite the resistance. And the same thing is the other way around, of course. If I have a train that's travelling along at 100 miles an hour and I want to stop it, and I put a brick in the way, what will happen? Nothing. If I apply bicycle brakes as hard as I can, nothing. That will keep going. Why? Because to stop something, you need a cause, just like to start something. There's a force that won't stop it. But if I have a 7-ton engine and a 7-ton set of brakes, it'll stop. Unless that's hurtling down a hill. Certainly down the hill with an extra force, and it'll overcome the force of the brakes, and what will happen? That train will not stop. Guaranteed. Basic, normal, real facts of life. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu created this world, and there's nothing we can do about it. If there's no cause, there will be no effect. Nothing will move without the power to move it. Nothing will stop without the power to stop it. Kumtim Kippur. And a Yid stands there in front of the Rabbeinu Shleilam, and he has a genuine charotah, or shamnu bogadnu. Bogadnu, he says, bogadnu, I'm so ungrateful to the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Bogadnu, he looks in his chayodom, birachti brocha shalai b'kavona. I stood in front of the Rabbeinu Shleilam about to benefit from his chesed, from a piece of cake, from an apple that he gave me. And I said, b'chachlum zeh. What a bizarrean! How can you do that? And I said, don't understand how I can do it. And what do I say? Now, next year will be different. Next year, all my brachas will be b'kavana. The guy rocks into shul late again. And he thinks to himself, how can I daven this way? How can I daven if I'm always late? I'm always rushing. Next year, different. Next year, I'm going to be in davening on time. These kabbalas that we make. Yid chaps, chesed. There's so many even running around here collecting money. So many of them. Like, some of them are genuine, you know. And never, because of fault, it's not their fault, because of forces beyond their control, they've ended up never to come here collecting money. And how do we treat them? And he thinks about that in Kippur Tzoraanu, how much tar I've caused these people. He'll have to think about one's own family Tzoraanu, and think about people there that we're hurting with the words that we say, and you think that will never happen again. No! This year's going to be different. And you have Yom Kippur. He stands there and he thinks about his kiyusus. Night after night after night, I'm sitting down and I'm learning Gemara. And yet, at the end of the year, what do I know? Nothing. What I have to show for it? Zilch. Why? Because I don't chazan. Rabbeinu Shalom, what am I doing? It's your Torah, Yom Kippur. This year, I'm going to be chazaring. What happens the day after Yom Kippur? Doesn't work. Some kabbalas last a week. If you're very lucky, they last a month. Anything that goes beyond 6 weeks, we consider a miracle. So what do we say? Kabbalas don't work. I tried it last year. I tried it the year before. It doesn't work for me. Where's our seichel? Where's the science? Where's our math? Of course it doesn't work. Because for a kabbalah to work, we have to set up a force that can move it. And do you know what it takes to change? win arbitrary resistance there is to any change we introduce into our lives. So if we want something to happen, I want to start saying brachas. Is that strong enough to really make something happen? Chances are it isn't. First of all, that desire is running on coal, and that coal is going to burn out sometime not long after Ne'ilim, and then the force won't be there anymore. So you've got to get, what's going to keep that fire? So I'm dreaming, not planning. If we're dreaming, not planning, then what are the chances that we'd be successful? You know, we want to stop, there's a lav of, you know, Astavarim, a lav of Lashon Hara, and you in Kippur we have Lashon Hara is a very bad thing. It's not one of the things you're meant to try avoid. As far as the Rav Shlomo is concerned, we better cut it out. People keep saying, why are they always talking about Lashon Hara? They really spoke about it last year, and every rally they speak about it, because we haven't stopped. We haven't cut it out completely. As far as the Rav Shlomo is concerned, he wants not one word of Lashon Hara in Tavshin Sabachis. And you cut that in Kippur. Think, okay, this year, no more Lashon Hara. Will it happen? Of course it won't. That train is travelling, and we've applied bicycle brakes. A little more awareness of Lashon Hara. It's not strong enough to overcome the Yetzer Hara. There is a Yetzer Hara, we all know that. We have desires, we have forces at work that are making us do things. If it didn't work last year, if I didn't stop speaking Lashon Hara last year, why should I stop this year? Because I want to? Because I feel like if there's no force, if one does not set up a clear reason for it to happen, it won't happen. Guaranteed it won't happen. And if we think it will, it's plain wishful thinking. Now, if you happen to be the type of person who has willpower, tremendous willpower, then you're different. That's an exception. There are some people who, when they decide something, that's it. If they say they're going to be there at 5 to 7 from now on, they will be there 5 to 7. But for most people, that's not the case. And if it isn't, then if we want to introduce some real change in the coming year, the only way we can do it is by sitting down and doing our maths. Some might say that this is depressing. Maybe it is. I think it's far more depressing to be using a system that never works. To be making Kabbalah Yom Kippur, thinking something's going to happen, and to come back next year, stand there in front of the Rebbe and feel like such a hypocrite, such a fool. Last year I was Mekabel, and I didn't change. Why should this year be different? And if one applies this, there are three simple klonim that can make a Kabbalah work. One can have the confidence to come into Yom Kippur and you say, Revenge Shleilam, I'm going to go through every Al-Khait. Every single one of those Averis, I will reach a level of Harasa. I'll reach a level of Kabbalah Labo on all the Averis. But there are one, maybe two, if you're really brave, three issues that I guarantee you, Revenge Shleilam, will change. Stage one of a real Kabbalah is Seid Godel. I never had it as clearly, I saw it this year, actually Gevaldig Yisrida, I think it's the beginning of all Kabbalahs. Never mind where I saw it, but I'll tell you. I saw it, not in a Musa Sefer, not in Shari Tshuva, not in Rambam Rebbe's Tshuva, I saw it on a fire extinguisher. You know what it says? Always aim at the base of the fire. There's a massive fire burning and you run out with your fire extinguisher and it's a pachad. You see those flames rise, a big red flames, a pachad. So you aim your fire extinguisher until you, and you knock them all out, and then you're out of water and the flames flare up again. Get to the base of the fire. We have to attack the root of the problem. And he wants to learn more. If we don't do something about it, it won't happen. And he wants to stop speaking Lashon Hara. If we learn Chofetz Chaim an extra 10 minutes a day, then we will stop speaking Lashon Hara. Not completely, but it will improve our speaking Lashon Hara. A person that finds certain halachas, he's not makpid. So Bishon Salanta, so learn those halachas. If we get to the root of the problem, we can change it. First one, get to the base of the problem. Nekuda number one. Number two is let's do our math. Let's do our science. Let's check that there's a cause. Let's take an example. A yid knows he wants to daven, and he finds that his tefillah is just dismal. He's not. And he thinks to himself, what can I do about it? And he reckons there's two things I could do to improve my davening. One is, I could come on time. Come on time, just be there 10 minutes earlier than he is. Normally he's between 10 and 15 minutes late. He says, you know what? I'll be 10 minutes. I'll come 10 minutes, maybe even 15 minutes. I could be on time. Gevaldig. The other thing that would improve his davening is if he would learn Pirush HaMinus, learn the anonymous psilla. It's amazing what it does. In the middle of sleeping, and you suddenly come to a pshat that you saw the day before, wakes you up. And then he thinks, why not combine the two? I'll get up 15 minutes earlier, and when I'm on time, I'll start davening. But if I've got 5-10 minutes spare, I'll learn about the Inyan Atfila. What could be better than that? You need a cause. Of course. So instead of setting his alarm for 6:15, he sets his alarm for 6 o'clock. Gevaldik. Don't you feel confident going to Yom Kippur like that? And maybe the Gehagosha. And the Motzi Yom Kippur sets his alarm for 5 to 6. Let's get 5 minutes earlier because it's Yom Kippur. And the Motzi Yom Kippur. And 5 to 6, the alarm goes. And a hand sticks itself out of the cover and touches the snooze. That's not a cause. That's not going to get me out of bed. I'm dreaming. That's a 3-ton engine and a 7-ton train. I weigh more than 7 tons at that time in the morning. How are you going to get me out of bed? Who knows? Who knows? Maybe you need a system that pours cold water on your face. Maybe put the alarm clock on the other side of the room and your wife says, Belville, for heaven's sake, will you switch off that noise? And once you're out of bed, if you put yourself a bowl of water, you step into it. Who knows what you need? But if there's no sibba, then you're not planning to get on time. I'm planning, I'm dreaming. I'm dreaming about improving my tefillah. I'm guaranteed to fail. Guaranteed to fail. That's one that could be. Set up a system that works. A person chaps in learning. It's often such a frustrating issue that we're not gathering our learning. We're not revising. We're not coming out Masechtos. Every Yid can know not Masechtos, Prokim in Shas. And I got guilty. Why don't I know any Prokim? So he stops and he asks. So the reason is I'm just not gathering enough. So this year I'm going to chazer. What's going to happen? Nothing. When? Okay, between 8 and 9. Gevaldik. Set aside a time. That's always the first thing. But it's strange, but somehow, if there's something else planned between 8 and 9, chances are this Kabbalah won't last. I don't know why, I've often tried this. I set aside a time, but I've also designated it for a few other things. But if three things have to occupy the same time, one of them is going to go, two of them are going to go. And chances are it won't be the learning that happens. So if I haven't set up a chavrusa with a designated time and haven't cleared the deck, it won't happen. You can't get to bed half an hour earlier and fit in all those phone calls. Every single Kabbalah, every change comes with a price. That's stage two, paying the price. If I'm going to get up 15 minutes earlier, I am going to be tireder. There's no question about it. If I chat that I want to spend more time with my children, you have teenagers and you suddenly chat that they don't want to talk to you. And somebody says, well, yeah, you're starting too late. You have to start with the kids when they're young. And if you learn with them to do their homework when they're 5, 8, 9, then maybe they'll talk to you when you're a teenager. Oh, what? From now on I'm going to spend time. If I don't come home till they're in bed, I won't be spending time with them. I'm going to have to pay a price for that Kabbalah. Every Kabbalah comes with a price tag. Until we actually fish into our pocket and pay, and paying hurts. If we don't pay, vadai, it won't succeed. There's no sibba. And stage three is the obstacles. It's working wonderful, but then there's a hill. My child has holidays, so he's out of schedule. I'm out of schedule because I've got holidays and I'm travelling off somewhere or I'm travelling away for some other reason. When you get back, what sibba is there that things should start again? Usually, they only last till they get to the hill. And so there's a morning, I'm getting up early in the morning and then I'm making a chasana and things are completely out of schedule. If I haven't planned for failure, I am planning to fail. If I haven't thought about what can go wrong, then I'm guaranteed as soon as I get to a hill, it'll stop. And it won't just stop for the duration of the hill, because you never get over that hill, never starts again. Stage one, aim for the base of the fire. Stage two, let's see that there is a force in place that is guaranteed to make that happen. And stage three, that I've taken care of removing all obstacles or providing a force that is strong enough to overcome them. And with that, we couldn't have any kippah and avada with his charotah and his zachet as much as we can for every mitzvah, every avera, but there are one, two, maybe three issues that we can say to Rabbeinu Shlomo, I haven't solved them completely, but I guarantee you by next Yom Kippur things will be better.